All right, it's Carson Anderson on the road from Allen Park as there's Lions football practice today back on the practice field after their previous preseason game, scary Friday night, as we all know, and thankfully Maurice Norris is okay. And Scott, are you okay?
I'm fine, Doug. Thank you for asking.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah. Steamy. We'll set the scene here for you. We are, there's two practice fields in front of us. There is one to our slightly to our right and one to our left. Lions will be out here practicing starting at 10:30. And following practice, sometime around 12:30, Jared Goff will be stopping by. I hope to see him. You will see him. I'll explain all that later.
But hello, ladies.
We've got
cheerleaders just walked across.
Cheerleaders, yeah, they sure did. Anyway, so we're set up here. I'll tell you a little bit about what we're seeing when practice gets underway. But football's in the air, and it is it's back-ish. It's always sort of the taste of the preseason where you get excited. It's hard to get into the games. You do more player evaluation. You don't really care about the outcomes. There was one outcome we all cared about. I don't know what else could be said about the Maurice Norris thing that hasn't already been said. But one of the more surreal scenes ever is to see him on the field and them, the two teams, decide to snap the ball and let the clock drain for 14 minutes before the league called up and said, that's fine, we'll suspend the game after 8 minutes. Just, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, nor have I. You know, Tigers around that night too, and I'm flipping back and forth, and I missed the play when it happened live.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to the game and saw the scene, I was, well, this is not good. And then immediately went to social media to try to find out what happened. And I did. In the meantime, you know, you see all the discussions that are taking place. You see the interactions between the teams, and then they get out there to snap the ball, and they do the right thing. And it's it was you said it right on the head there. It was totally surreal. I've never seen anything quite like that. I mean, we've seen players get hurt on the field before, mm-hmm. but I've never seen the ball get snapped and the team just hang on to it with 14 and a half minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then I have the clock run down to, I don't know, what was it, 9 minutes or 6 minutes? I forget what the time was.
It ran for 8 minutes.
So to have it go that far down before they finally decided that the game was suspended. And I'm not faulting the NFL in any way here. I was curious as to what – I'd love to know what went behind the decision to either wait that long or what was it? Was it logistics? Was there something else going on? But it seemed quite obvious that this was not going to continue. You knew that 30 seconds into it when they're hanging on to the football and they're just standing across each other talking. But I'm glad they did. And yeah. So I'm not going to make a big deal because I don't think it's worth making a big deal of what the NFL's decision-making process was here. But I'm glad they did what they did. It was awful to see. And if you've been a football fan long enough, you've seen things like this happen.
Yeah,
obviously, the Damar Hamlin situation a couple years ago. And their decision to continue playing that game was kind of crazy, but difference between regular season and preseason, I guess. Still, nonetheless, it was harrowing to go to see the teams go through that and the emotion on the field and off the field as well. It was tough. And then you're just glued to your phone afterwards, trying to get
updates
and seeing what's going on. And then you get the update the day later that he's Maurice Norris posted on his own Instagram. Letting everybody know that he's going to be all right, which is fantastic news.
Being in the dark in terms of information and it is such a difficult position to be. Fans at the field probably had less of a clue than anybody else. They're not seeing replays or hearing what the announcers are providing. I mean, I guess you can get on social media and see a replay eventually. They can see, and some obviously did see, some of the aftermath, which included at one point somebody posted on social media what looked like Maurice Norris in convulsions. But the bottom line here is, the severity of that would make one think that maybe he stopped breathing and that this was a life and death situation. You're right. If you watch football long enough, unfortunately, you're going to see something like this. And it sucks the air out of the balloon, man. You just suddenly don't care about the game. You know, people always say it provides perspective. Everybody always says the same thing, and that's fine. It's just, it's so scary, and thankfully, he's okay. He was here yesterday at the facility, and I suspect he'll be out there today. And who knows the long-term effects of what this means on his career, and who
don't
really
know.
Cares. It's just, it's good that he is healthy.
I mean, you guys, it's surreal things. It takes me back to the mid-90s when Reggie Brown got hurt. And for me, the surreal part of that on the field, the Silverdome, it was against the Jets, was actually the crazy thing about that game, if I'm not mistaken, that's when Barry Sanders went over 2,000 yards.
Went over 2,000 and they clinched the playoffs in all in one day. And
but when Reggie,
the day lost all of its luster.
Yeah. And when Reggie Brown got hurt, the surreal part to me was watching Johnny Morton and Herman Moore sprint from the tunnel, basically, with the gurney to get it out to the field and assist. It was scary situations. Very scary situations.
Okay, well, we will get into what happened on the football field and obviously the baseball field as well, with the Tigers winning a series over the Angels. Kind of a cathartic day. Yesterday, the offense exploding and putting up 9 runs. We'll get to that in a moment. Again, setting the scene here for you. We are at Lions training camp, and we are looking out on the practice fields in a pavilion where there's a bunch of fans in front of us. I'd love to turn the cameras around for those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube, but there are reasons we're not allowed to do that. So we could give you our perspective. It'd be fun just to do the show and stream practice, huh? And give people video, but you can see our broadcast location.
Thanks a lot, Connor Stallions.
Well, the rules were in place far before.
Thanks a lot, New England Patriots.
Yeah, far before those guys were here. But it's we're going to be here actually 3 days this week, and then at the Dream Cruise on Friday. So we'll be missing our guy Kang back in our studios, but we'll be providing you the latest from what's going on out here from the Detroit Lions. Tigers lead us back to 6. My question for you is, did you spend the better part of 20 hours panicking? Because we reached your number. The 14-game lead had dwindled down to when you said you would start to really get concerned. Panic might not be the word, but you would be really concerned if the lead ever got to 5. It got to 5 Saturday. It's back up to 6 after Sunday's results. Can you describe your feelings over that roughly 20-hour time frame?
Doug, a little bit like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I ran the gambit a little bit. I was at the game on Saturday, and not real thrilled with what was transpiring about halfway through that game when Morton started to get hit. And, and then I started scoreboard watching, and I saw what the Gribe was doing, and I wasn't thrilled with that either. So, yes, when I got home on Friday night, it wasn't full-blown panic, but it was definitely full-on concern. Anxiety was there, and all I could think about was, I want to see the Tigers play this game on Sunday so badly. Let's go. Let's get it done. Get it over with, and hopefully they can win. And maybe somehow, some way, the White Sox find a way to beat Cleveland and get that back to 6, which is exactly what happened. But it was a touch-and-go situation for me, Doug.
Yeah.
That's how I'd say touch-and-go.
Okay. Feeling better today?
I feel better today, yes.
Slightly?
Well, I do feel better, and I feel better that the Tigers are going to take on those same White Sox now.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
All right. Well.
It's disco time.
There's a presentation going on with the cheerleaders, so hopefully they won't be dancing all day.
All it takes is a repositioning of a speaker, and their powers is on it.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. Ish. Do appreciate it. Well, it's a party out here at practice, as you hear, and players are starting to make their way out onto the field, and we will provide updates throughout the day on what's going on in front of us. And right now, it's cheerleaders dancing for the crowd out here at the Allen Park headquarters.
Forward down the field,
the Detroit Lions.
A charging team that will not yield. All right.
We'll get to our Champ and Chump nominations today at 10:35. Got a question for Tiger fans. We'll discuss the Lions throughout the day. Obviously, listening to the morning show, it is clear Hendon Hooker is a hot topic with Detroit Lions fans. So all of that to come here on Carson Anderson. And who knows what else? I'm sure they'll be doing yard work in front of us at some point. A helicopter will land. It's Doug Karsh.
Actual Lions roaring.
It's Doug Karsh and Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, make Builders First Source your destination for professional window and exterior door installation services. You can add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. Then have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders First Source installation team. Done right with quality products and services. Visit one of their locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township or online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com.
Indeed, Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. And again, practice gets underway at 10:30. We are located at the south end of one of the end zones here, the two practice fields, fans all over the place. It is a hot day, an exciting day, as the Lions are back on the practice field and everybody's feeling a little bit better for obvious reasons because Maurice Norris is at least healthy enough to have been at the building and seemed to be doing much, much, much better after a scary moment on Saturday night, or Friday night, excuse me. But Scott, so the Tigers' lead is 6. We mentioned your concerns, and we both discussed sort of when our moment of thinking they're in a race now, and we need to start closely paying attention. Look, you want to win every game, but you go from having a comfortable lead to having a lead that feels like
nothing.
Yeah, I guess it's that simple, right? You go from having a comfortable lead to an uncomfortable lead. You said 5, and I said 4.5. And the reasons, were just our own sort of approach to what's a tight race and what isn't. Scott, how do you know? How do the fans know? What is the sign they are looking for? What is the result they need to see that says they're back to being the best version of themselves? I don't think taking 2 of 3 against the Angels necessarily accomplishes that. Step in the right direction, but is it a good week? Is it a good 2 weeks? Is it a double-digit lead? What is it that will make people get back to that sort of stress-free feeling we had in the first half of the season, which in many ways was unprecedented? I don't ever remember feeling that stress-free about a team. And let's be clear here. The Tigers have had better rosters than this one.
Oh, yeah.
And even those teams, I don't remember feeling as stress-free in the first half of the season as we felt this year. But what gets us back there?
I think if they got back to 11 games up on whoever is chasing them, I think that would go a long way towards being there. But I start thinking back to before the trade deadline. There was anxiety about this team before that. And they did have a double-digit lead, and it started to dwindle, and I'm not sure if that's going to get it done either. I think they'd have to go against one of their contending teams in baseball and win the series or sweep that series. I don't think it's going to be people saying R-E-L-A-X if they go out and sweep the White Sox.
No.
Now, the White Sox are playing better baseball. They're a game above .500 since the break, and they started off on fire out of the break, but then they lost 6 in a row, and then they just beat Cleveland to snap that 6-game losing streak. But so it's not going to come soon with this series. I think it's going to take a while before fans. It's not even a forgiveness. It's getting back to where you do feel the confidence. And I've got major questions about this team right now, and it's in every facet. It's the starting pitching, it's the bullpen, and it's the offense. Do they have enough? This does not look anywhere near the same team that we saw, 8 weeks into the season, 2 months into the season. It's not. It's far from it. And it's very concerning. The team we saw in June when they were this well-oiled machine is not playing like that anymore. The bullpen has gone way south. The starting pitching has gone south. The health of the team has been compromised in several different ways. And the offense, which was once one of the top, 6 offenses in all of baseball and deserved to be there, is now just hanging on to stay in the top 10. Some of that's a reflection of where baseball is, I think. But you can't ignore that things have – they look different. They have changed.
Well, yeah. So if you look at it then, I guess factually, the next contending team they play is Houston. And I believe that's next weekend. So you think winning a series against Houston will be that RELAX moment? Or
yeah, and coupled with if they are, you know, because they've got an opportunity. I didn't see who Cleveland's playing next, but you know, coupled with if the Tigers are able to build this lead back up to 10 or 11 games, I'd feel better about 11 than 10. Don't ask me why; it just is. I think it's that one game of leeway. If they were to lose, there's still the double-digit lead. But it's going to have to coincide with that too. I mean, Cleveland's got to come back down to earth. They're playing really well. I think they're 15-7 since the All-Star break. So if their fortunes start to change and the Tigers start to change and we get the flip of what we've had here the last several weeks, then I think that works too.
I don't know if this is a misinterpretation, but CDP on Twitch just said, Gator, why are you feeding into the negative talk? Panic in Detroit with the third best record in baseball. I'm not sure you're being negative.
I mean,
they haven't played as well.
No,
right?
I'm trying to be as objective as I can. It's what I try to do and strive for, Doug. But, and I do look for positive spins, but like in particular, I think the starting pitching is a major concern for me because you've got Tarek Skubal, who got hit his last time out. Not that I expect that.
That doesn't rattle the confidence in any way.
Not a ton. Yeah. But in Casey Mize pitched, I thought he pitched very well yesterday, despite the two-run home run he gave. Look, that guy hit the ball up at his neck. It was like a Colt Keith home run. So I'm not going to fault Casey Mize for throwing a pitch well above the strike zone and the other guy tomahawking it out. That's not bad. I'll give Mize credit. I thought he pitched well. But beyond those two, Flaherty, nope. He's back on the downside. You know, Charlie Morton got hit up on Saturday night. We'll see what Paddock can offer up tonight against the White Sox. There's concerns about the rest of this rotation. And, you know, when you mentioned that the Tigers have had better rosters, oh, yeah, they've had a lot better rosters. And a lot of it started with having this rock-solid rotation of pitchers.
Right.
With, you know, obviously the Verlander and Scherzer and Pfister and other pitchers weaved in among those three pitchers. We've seen some great rosters. This one still has plenty of work to do, and this is why Tiger fans weren't thrilled with the return they got at the trade deadline. There could have been other players that they could have gone after and didn't, but it's the team they have right now, and this team was good enough to be the best team in baseball for a long time.
If they are playing better, okay, and they just keep, because this is the way I look at it. If Cleveland stays hot and the Tigers keep them five, six, seven games back, that's fine with me if they're playing well, if they're just keeping pace with Cleveland. They don't have the heavy lifting to do. Cleveland's got the heavy lifting to do, and so it's just about matching Cleveland's pace. I'd like to see him go into the postseason on a hot streak. I don't ever want to assume they're going to make the postseason, but I will say this, Gator. Every once in a while, and you mentioned it, I think you and I tend to look for how things are going to work out. And throughout this entire thing, I have felt comfortable saying that they are going to win this division. Now, the goal, that's goal one, is to win the division. Goal two is to be one of the top two seeds in the American League. So you get that bye. And then you start talking about making postseason runs. But you can't, you know, make the postseason run until you finish the regular season. So the first hurdle to clear, win the division. Beyond that, you know, fight for and try and get one of those top two seeds. I think it's important. Then you can set up your pitching and maximize the Skubal effect on the postseason as you get into divisional series and hopefully an ALCS. But I thought there was a chance that something significant happened this weekend. And I'll draw a point of comparison to last year when something significant happened. We'll get to that today at 10:31. Plus, we want your champ and chump votes. 248-539-9797. We'll have our champ and chump votes coming up today at 10:35. Get them in. It's Carson Anderson from Lions practice. We'll get into some Lions stuff a little bit later on as players continue to trickle out on the field for a 10:30 practice. Jared Goff out there throwing a football around, as are the other quarterbacks, including I see Hendon Hooker down there at the far end.
Wait, he's still here?
He's still here, yes. Huh. And we'll discuss it. Seems to be a hot button topic, at least the morning show. A ton of calls on the future of the Detroit Lions. Third round pick, Hendon Hooker. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. That felt good.
Yeah, it was good to get him back in the mix. 4 of 10 over the week, scored 3 runs, drove 3 in, and hit that home run. That was a big sigh of relief. I'm sure that felt pretty good for him to put it over the wall in right field.
Okay, so look, I think last year there was a moment in time, and you're always looking for when they're back on track. And, you know, I'm always, what signifies the turnaround or that moment that kickstarts a team? We saw it with the Lions a few years ago when they got hot at the end of that season and just carried it over. This team, this Tiger team that we're talking about now, a lot of people talked about the significance of the Little League game when they played at Williamsport in the Little League World Series and came from behind to beat the Yankees and kind of stole the show, really. And that seemed to carry them and jumpstart that team. I wonder if Friday night's game might be that for this team. Because Friday night, that game hung in the balance. There were a couple of really touch-and-go moments. You know, late in the game, you've got the Angels up 1. They're putting together a rally. I think it was top of the 8th, maybe top of the 7th. Looks like they're putting together a rally. They got a runner on first, and Riley Green makes that diving catch, right?
Yep.
And that snuffed out the rally. And then right after that, again, they're trailing, and Matt Vierling hits a 3-run homer. That was Matt Vierling's home run in almost a calendar year. First home run in almost a calendar year. And, you know, between the diving catch and the unlikely home run produced from Matt Vierling, and on a night where Skubal didn't get him deep into a game, I hope and wonder if that's the moment we put a pin in and circle back, that they started to get their mojo back and started to, you know, the adrenaline boost that a team needs. Hey, we're going to be okay. People stop pressing. Let's go. Let's rally from here. And it might be a stretch, but, you know, whoever would have thought the Little League game would have got things going, right? I mean, it just...
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody loves a turning point more than you.
No.
What that is. I don't know if there's ever any turning point. I think you have different points in the season. Well, I mean, it is what it is. I think we probably said something similar to that, you know, that a month and a half ago. I don't know. Things happen.
I'm always looking for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a great moment to see them kind of snap out of it on Friday night instantly, right, with a 3-run homer. But what happened the next day?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're going to win every game, but they won the series.
Well, no, but I mean, that's the point, is that if I'm going to look for a turning point, I want to start something big. Now, maybe it is a start where they go and win 10 of the next 11 games.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, I mean, for the short term, I think it's probably way premature.
It's cool. If you want to wait till it's over and then go make the call, I'll do it ahead of time, all right? I'm going to do it ahead of time. That's what I'm putting a pin in and circling back to. Scott will be good at telling you what happened after it happened. So,
well, I'm good at saying that I'm not sure there's always a turning point.
Yeah, you might
be. No matter how much everybody wants there to be one, there may not always be one.
You're getting to the Gary Danielson camp, who didn't believe in momentum in sports. And I do, and Gary and I used to debate this. And for me, it's really about when one moment affects the next. When something happens that makes you play better, feel better, or do the right thing, and you just keep it up, it sort of snowballs. And I'm hoping that's it, but there's no guarantees, of course. I thought that was – I felt like a real emotional win Friday night.
And it was. Yeah. It absolutely was. Did you get dabbed up by Rory or no?
I got a high five.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to make sure. I didn't want you to feel left out.
I don't feel left out.
Okay.
Yes. Made my day, Scott. Made my day.
See? All right, Champ and Chump. Turning point in the show.
Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. I will start. My champ is Matt Vierling, because that might be a giant inflection point in this season.
And now Matt Vierling's on the IL. My champ is... Sorry, I'm putting a pin in that balloon every time.
No, it's okay.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
Not, you know,
I'm sorry.
You've got that in you.
My champ is Raheem Morris, the Falcons coach. He was all class on Friday night. And, you know, obviously he's got a big say in what happens. And it was the right decision. And I thought it was great what he did. And Dan Campbell to acknowledge that after the game was awesome as well.
My chump of the weekend is Matt Vierling, and specifically his oblique. Damn it!
My chump are the Cleveland Guardians for adding to my anxiety over the last few weeks. They got the 15-7 record since the break. I'm not happy about that, and I'm hoping they go away soon. But you know, they got it down to five games after Friday night. It's back up to six. Let's hope it climbs.
248-539-9797. Get your champ and chump votes in here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. All right, here's the feedback coming in. Champ Kerry Carpenter, chump the MLB strike zone. That's from Tom in Pontiac.
Strike zone's crazy, right? And it's sometimes it's unfair when you're just looking at the box on TV when they show you that and you see a pitch is in or out and you're like, you're convinced that that's the actual strike zone.
Yeah.
Where in actuality it's not. But it's pretty close to what it should be. But there were some pitches over the weekend in this Tiger series that were absolutely horrendously called on both sides, both against the Angels and for the Angels and against the Tigers and for the Tigers. It was awful.
Dude, the
inconsistency is amazing.
Do you think Scooble thought so? Friday night in that start, when he, like the third pitch of the game.
He was rattled.
He says to the home plate umpire, "That's horrible."
You're right.
And I'm like, okay, Tarek, you might be right.
Shut up.
Can't afford you getting kicked out of this game.
No. I mean, like, I was starting to have a flashback to when I think it was Nate Robertson got kicked out of a game in Tampa on, like, the second pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't do that. Please don't do that. Relax a little bit. And then, you know, the inning's over, and he's walking towards the dugout, and he shouts something back at the umpire again. I'm like, stop. Stop. But it was awful all weekend long. Ask the Angels if they like the strike zone.
Rick and Ferndale, champ Justin Rose for four birdies in the last five holes and winning in a playoff. Chump Tommy Fleetwood for blowing a two-shot lead with three holes to go. That makes 162 PGA tournaments without a win.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood probably not happy with his performance. And Justin Rose was brilliant down the stretch. J.J. Spawn was very good, got it to the playoff, and I think it went three or four playoff holes. It's this is where, look, golf, whether you like golf or not, if you like golf, this is the part where you kind of love it, where it's starting to get into playoff mode. You got the top 50 golfers advanced now in this playoff format, and it's kind of interesting. And I'm watching last night on the side of the screen, and you could see they have the standings of where the players are and who needs to move up, who needs to move down. And it added a whole new rooting interest, you know, because I'm no longer worried about who's going to win the tournament. I want Ricky Fowler to make the top 50.
Right.
Is there a way that Jordan Spieth can still make? No, he's out. Definitely out. Damn it. You know, and there's some really good golfers that are not in the top 50 that won't get to play in the playoffs.
Can you guys advise all us Tiger fans what the record at home is on Saturdays? I feel like they've won one, maybe two games all year at home on Saturdays. That's American Sterling Heights. I am unaware. But we'll have to try and see if we can effort that during a commercial break. Let's go to your phone calls. Joe is in Highland and on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you had a great weekend.
Hey,
I have a question for you. I was talking to my son, and he mentioned that during the All-Star game, they're interviewing Riley Green, and he mentioned that he never takes batting practice before games. And then, boom, all of a sudden, he kind of professed what he never does and has a horrible July or, you know, month of hitting. And then come Thursday last week, you know, on their day off. And ever since then, he's, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, who's taking batting practice before the games and hitting the ball better. And I just thought
it
was a little bit of irony.
Wasn't it?
He
doesn't take batting practice on the field. He took it underneath.
On the field. Okay.
And so he said he wanted to start seeing where the baseball was going. He thought that would help him. And
right.
Whatever the fix is, you know, it's funny because you reach a breaking point. You reach a breaking point as a player. You reach a breaking point as an organization, or you reach a breaking point as a coach where something needs to change. And if that was his breaking point and that truly is a solution, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to each individual. It's up to each individual to make that decision. Like, some fans say, oh, he should have been doing this forever ago. Well, there probably was a reason why he didn't do it forever ago. And he just decided right now is his time.
Well, you know, it's like changing your putting grip. You know, maybe I got to do a claw putt here. Who knows? I'm terrible.
Yeah.
But my champ and chump are the Detroit Tigers. Chump, all the Tiger fans last week. Worrying about how bad the Tigers are playing in July. Of course, it's terrible to watch, but every other team is dumping. There's only two teams playing really well, Brewers and the Jays. Everybody calm down. We got this. We got this, and let's just be positive about our team, and positive things will happen.
Well, you know what's funny is, and thank you for the phone call. Look,
The Mets have lost like seven in a row.
I'm not likely to chump fans for how they're feeling. Like, everybody's feelings are their own and they're valid. And so you're certainly welcome to your vote. I was in Canada over the weekend, and I'll have details of that.
Oh, you
trip.
Made it.
I made it there.
And you made it back.
Most importantly, I made it back.
I should have asked you, did you make it back?
No, I didn't. I'm stuck in Canada. And I was talking to a Blue Jay fan. I said, wow, you guys are playing great. And the response was, not really. I mean, lately we've been struggling. And I'm like,
Shut up.
4 of 6. They lost. They like went 2 and 4 in their last six or whatever it was. They lost 4 in a row last week. And
they were like 25-7 or something.
I know, but it's just perspective that here we are talking about that team being one of the hottest in baseball. And that's not quite how the Blue Jay fans saw it. But you just, that's the way it is. It's people, you lock in on your own team and that's what you see and that's what you focus on, and you don't realize everybody else's struggles. I talked to a concerned Blue Jay fan over the weekend, but and as far as, you know,
I hope you're able to talk him off the ledge.
Did not. Oh. Didn't even try.
Oh.
As far as, you know, the fans that are panicked or whatever, you can feel however you want. It doesn't affect reality in any way, does it?
No, it does not.
No, it's not like they were instilling confidence. They weren't. They weren't playing well enough to instill confidence. It's okay to be concerned. I guess the question is, you know, because we got clearly feedback last week that people had given up on the team, which is their right. I thought that was premature. I didn't think that was necessary. But some people had given up on a team that still had the best odds to win their division of any team in baseball. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. We got a bunch of them. Pour them in via ticket text. There is always a chance we'll read yours if you sent one, so stay tuned. To Carson Anderson, here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, on Tuesday, August the 26th, that is FanDuel Futures Day. It's kind of a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on your favorite football season predictions. So, like, if you want to, you know, they're going to have deals on these odds, but if you want to take a flyer in an MVP race, I'll give you two guys who have long odds that are right out here in front of us at Lions Camp. 35-1 on Goff to win the MVP. I think it's 75-1 on Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, they're long shots, but you can get really good value on their 24 hours of deals at FanDuel, the FanDuel app. You can do parlays, your division winners, dark horses. Mark your calendars for August the 26th. That is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel.com app today and start planning your future bets now, because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 years or older and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Eric and Sterling Heights, we appear to have an answer. They are 1-8 in home Saturday games. Kang, is it since April?
Since May 1st, yeah.
Okay. Huh.
But they were 4-0 in April on Saturday home games.
Okay. So Saturday home games have been a struggle.
Yes.
I guess that's something I have to find a way to overcome. Or it's just random. Speaking of random...
Yeah.
I feel as though the Tiger bullpen is like random reliever name generator. Who debuted this weekend?
Hewer.
Cody Hewer, yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Like once a week, there's a new name, like a random reliever name generator that pops up. And, you know, you get Felix Fantastico or somebody is next up. Like, it's going to be somebody. It's going to be some other.
Is he Dominican?
No, he's from Newark. No, it's going to be just some other random name generator that most people have never heard of is going to be popping up coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and it's going to continue that way. I mean, they're going to have other guys brought up that'll do the same thing. Hewer was a guy they got prior to the deadline, and had some good numbers, high strikeout numbers at the AAA level.
Yep.
So, you know, mixed reviews. Mixed reviews on everybody, right? I mean, Montero's gotten a chance to pitch. Mixed.
Yeah. I mean, think more bad
probably
than
more
good.
Bad than good, yeah. I'm sure he felt that he got squeezed yesterday on a couple of pitches because he did, but it's happened both ways. And that's getting back to that whole thing. I think what infuriates people, it's the inconsistency. It's one thing. Hey, great, you called it bad against both teams, but it wasn't the same pitch that you would call bad against both teams. Just both teams had a right to complain about it.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if you're always going to call the pitch that's, you know, 6 inches outside the strike zone on the far side. If you're going to call that consistently a strike, great. But when you call it a strike and then somebody throws in the exact same spot and it's not a strike the next time, that's where people get up in arms. But anyway, Montero had those issues a little bit. And I don't know if he's – I don't think he's a permanent resident in this bullpen. I don't know who really is. They have like three arms I think are permanent residents. And beyond that, it's a mixed bag, and you're going to continue to see other guys I was watching Pat Caputo last night on Sportsworks. Pat was not – he was very dismissive of some of the arms that they have that are coming back. He was very dismissive about Urquidy and Alex Lang. What I read over the weekend was Alex Lang was throwing close to 98 miles an hour again.
Yeah.
And had another clean outing, and he's pitched better. And I would imagine that he's going to be coming back to Detroit soon. Urquidy had another – perfect inning, struck out a couple, but it's a rehab start at low A, so you don't really know what to think. I still think that this bullpen is such a work in progress, and it's going to look completely different when all is said and done in October when this team is ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, until we see Lang and Urquidy actually here,
right?
I don't blame people for not having high hopes. The Tigers clearly plan on some people not being here still helping out this team. And until then, we might get random reliever name generator showing up here in Detroit.
Which I think we had that same thing, I think, with outfielders earlier this year.
I mean, if you would have told me that they bring up a guy now named Jackson Luke, I'd believe it.
Yeah, right.
Right? They just cut Luke Jackson. Let's try Jackson Luke.
Sounds good.
Why not? 248.
Wait. Is he going to take time away from his country music schedule to do that?
Doesn't sound like a country music artist, doesn't it? Gentlemen, my concern of the Tigers is still very high. They got a miracle win on Friday with a Vierling home run. 9 times out of 10, that never happens. They lose Saturday and had a good win yesterday. They need to sweep the White Sox to make me feel much better. Otherwise, Cleveland is going to really push us to win the division. That's from Marlon Wall Lake. So he's...
9 times out of 10, that never happens, is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, look. There's a lot that's happened 9 times out of 10 that have put us in this situation where Cleveland is back in it. But, you know, we asked what it would take for someone to feel better, and he pinpointed it, sweeping the White Sox. You will feel better if they sweep the White Sox.
I'll feel great if they sweep the White Sox and then Cleveland gets swept.
Right.
That'll feel good.
I don't disagree.
But Cleveland's not the only team that's in the running here. I think Kansas City's making a little bit of a run at Cleveland as well. I mean, they're going to have teams are going to be chasing. But I don't think any of these teams is really capable of going on some crazy, crazy run. I really do feel that deep down. It's not going to stop me being having anxiety if it gets to 5 again. But it's really hard to be dominant in baseball without having a dominant resource like a great lineup or a great rotation. And I don't think Cleveland has that. I don't think Kansas City has that. I don't think the Tigers have that.
I was about
that.
To say, do
and
we
yet,
have that here
that's
in Detroit?
How they played. And I mean, they did
for
play
a long
that way.
Of time.
It was sustained for quite a bit.
So here's my question. Do you think that the Doug and Gator equivalent in Minnesota sounded exactly the same 1 year ago as we sound now? As I take a look in the mirror and reflect on our feelings towards this team, because, you know, all we got to do is look back a year ago when the Tigers were, I think, what's today? Today the 11th. The 11th is the day the Tigers started. They won the last game of the San Francisco series and took off and went like 35-16 the rest of the way. And I think Minnesota went like 19-32 or something, and Detroit caught them and took their playoff spot.
I mean, I don't know what they were doing in Minnesota last year, but if I were there, I guess, and I don't know because I don't have the stats and stuff in front of me, but I would, knowing how I feel about the Twins, I would have said, all right, well, are we due for a Carlos Correa injury or a Byron Buxton injury? Because those are things that derail everything. If those two guys can play 150 games in a season, that offense would be good. But obviously they've traded Correa now, so it doesn't matter. And Buxton, oh, hey, well, guess what? Who's hurt? I would have been saying that last year is my point.
Oh, okay.
Because they're always hurt. So did that coincide with when they went in the tank? I don't know. They may have actually played during that stretch, and they were just a bad baseball team. I don't recall. But interesting to think what the psyche of that broadcaster would have been. Because you felt pretty confident. And, I mean, nobody was confident about the Tigers. I can tell you how we felt August 11th last
year. There's a really good chance that August 11th last year, before that last game in San Francisco, that we did a show and didn't even mention him.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, we were a couple weeks out of the trade deadline, and we'd gotten away from the trade Tarek Skubal to the Baltimore Orioles hype.
Yeah.
That had finally ended, ceased.
Yep.
And now we were like, all right, now what happens? And then the Tigers are putting together a rotation that had two starters, and one of them was Kader Montero.
Yeah.
It's like it was just strange how it all worked out. And this year, with the rotation being as iffy as it has been lately, I don't think that this bullpen is equipped to do pitching chaos like they were last year. We had a different cast of guys that were pitching brilliantly.
Yeah.
In the roles. You fast forward a year, and it's not the same situation. You know, Tyler Holton was so key to this team last year, and this year he has struggled to find himself. Even just within the season, Tommy Canley, from where he was and where he is, it's night and day difference, and it's not good.
Okay, just so people know what we're looking at, and it's offense is off to our left, defense is off to our right from here at Detroit Lions training camp. Offense is just running pass patterns, quarterbacks throwing to receivers, and the defense down there is lining up, and I think they're defending passes, but they had broken to position groups. Now they're off with offense and defense. Later they will come together, we suspect, and run some plays, and that's when this gets really fun, and you'll hear some cheering, and we'll tell you what's going on out in front of us. From here at Lions training camp, we got some Lions stuff we will get to a little bit later on. Just a reminder, you can see our broadcast location by streaming through the Twitch. Go to twitch.tv or youtube.com. Search up 971 The Ticket. There is also streaming through the Odyssey app. The news today, well, we're looking for Maurice Norris. He was here at the practice facility yesterday, and that is the good news. He sent out a message on social media that he was doing fine and appreciates everybody looking out for him. So we'll hopefully get a chance to see him out there on the practice field. I don't suspect he'll be practicing, but just see that he's out there with his teammates.
No, I don't think so.
It's Carson Anderson. All right, Gator, a couple things to get caught up on. You did a taste test of a beer on Friday that I am a big fan of. And my adventure's going to Canada with an expired passport. More importantly, getting back from Canada. I'll tell you what happened. Coming up right out of the gate at 11 o'clock here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.